Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Hello, everybody. It's Monday, December 20, and we are coming at you with two-thirds of our normal podcast crew. Coach Trope is not with us tonight. I have my theory on that, but I think the official word is that he's lost his voice. I know he had a big game in Indiana over the weekend. He's running a youth camp in Chelsea. Maybe that's it. And Coach Trope usually is teasing you, Derek, about not having a voice, but he says he's without it. So we're going to take him for his word. But again, I have a theory. Maybe I'll do a separate podcast with that theory and share it with just my close friends. That's just it. So anyway, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Yeah, Coach Trope, he needs to stop yelling at the kids. That's what he always tells me that when I lose my voice, is stop yelling at everybody. So I'll return the favor there. But, you know, I'm doing well. I am absolutely loving winter break. My watch, my sleep time on my Samsung watch I got, you know, I've been racking up sleep times that are unheard of during the season. You know, 8-9 hours a night these last couple nights is amazing. I'm lucky. I'm usually looking at 4-4.5 on a good night during the school week, which is probably a bigger issue there. But anyways, I've been enjoying that. You know, obviously practice over break is nice. And then, you know, what is it? We're recording this on the 20th. So I'm about ready to get started on my Christmas shopping here these next couple of days. I better get going with that or else my girlfriend's going to dump me.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Christmas shopping. When Christmas Eve arrives, that's when I hit the mall. Not because I'm looking for any deal, just because I'm looking for small crowds. It used to be a fact you go out on Christmas Eve, there'd be nobody there. The last few years it actually gets a little crowded on Christmas Eve. So, but that's my day. Usually I can get everybody done in about 45 minutes total. I'm very efficient Christmas shopper. First thing I see, I get, throw it in a bag and have one of my boys wrap it up. Yeah, although you guys aren't living here anymore. Tony's not here anytime. So I got to figure out a new plan, but yeah, that's a good time of year. We're enjoying it as well. We're out of school and practice today. We actually got an exhibition game coming up Wednesday and another, we got the Shot Clock Classic at Spring Arbor coming up on the 29th. So I know there's quite a few interesting holiday events coming up, just communicating with some coaches and trying to follow on social media to see what's happening. But yeah, a great time of year. And I don't mean to say anything about my job or your job, but it is kind of nice to have this 2-week break. You know, the kids get a break from us. We get a break from them. I'm talking about the general population at the school, and we could just kind of be basketball coaches for a while and concentrate on our family. So, but anyway, yeah, let's jump into some of the action that occurred this past week. We've got two games and maybe a team that we want to recap this week. We're going to, we'll steal Josh's thunder when it comes to one of them, and we'll do our own as well. But before I even get into that, speaking of Josh, and this isn't really one of our official recap games, I had a chance to watch his game at is it Grace College or Grace University? What do they call that down there in Winona Lake or whatever it's called down there in Indiana?
I believe that is Grace College, but yeah. I could be wrong.
The beautiful facility.
Grace College, yep.
Champions of Character Classic, the only Michigan team down there. I think there were 6 games and he was one of them. They played Blackhawk Christian, them being the Chelsea boys, and they did get beat by 16 in kind of a methodical pull away victory for Blackhawk Christian, which was a Division II state title team last year, and they look every bit as good this year. They have a squad, but it was just interesting to watch Chelsea really, you know, compete against you know, one of the top teams in Indiana. And Chelsea's really good. They did not have the size to deal with Blackhawk Christian, and not just height, but just the physical size. These dudes from Blackhawk Christian were cut. They were men. I watched the live stream, paid my $10.60 for the live stream, but it was worth it. It was good watching them. Chelsea's going to win a lot of games this year, but that was they definitely challenged themselves with Christian. anyway, no coincidence that he's not on the podcast a couple days after his first loss of the year. But neither of us have played anybody like Blackhawk. Christian, did you have a chance to talk to him at all about it?
I didn't get a chance to talk to him. The one thing I do, you know, we give Josh a hard time whenever we can. But to give him a little bit of props on something that we usually are giving him a hard time about is he's actually scheduled pretty tough this year. And you got to give him credit for that. I think he sensed that he had a good group and he wanted to make sure that they were challenged in some of their non-conference games. And obviously they get 10 non-conference games being in the SEC White this year, but from Blackhawk Christian to, Sylvania Northview, they're playing from Ohio. They got Benton Harbor coming up later in the year. Like he really did not mess around in the non-conference, which he used to. He used to call 1-800-VICTORY whenever he could, or he tried. And he definitely did not do that this year. So I'm kind of throwing a shot at him while also complimenting him at the same time. That's how we like to compliment Trope around here.
He's a heck of a coach. We both know that. And he actually even had an exhibition game with Belleville last week on Monday after they lost their game with Wayne. And that was great competition and two good teams going at it. And yeah, I was really impressed with Joey Cabana and Jake Stevens, watching them even against Blackhawk Christian. I mean, those two dudes can play, and they are sophomores, and they are elite, and they're going to be college players. They're going to be scholarship college players. And he's got some other guys around him. If they only had some more size, you know, you would say they might even be a threat to win it all this year. They just don't have it. And not to say that they're not going to make a run, because they, you know, they're talented, and man, they're hard to match up with. But and they're, you know, their coaches do a great job with them. But yeah, it was fun watching them. So anyway, I'm going to start today. I'm going to start with the game I want to recap, and definitely followed, was interested about it before it happened, and definitely was intrigued by the result. And that would be the Huron at Saline boys game on Friday, December 17th. This is at Saline High School. Huron comes away with a 41-39 victory over Saline, and they came from behind to do it. Hit a buzzer shot. A junior, TJ Bell, hit a game winner for Huron. It's kind of hit the shot as time expired. I've had a couple different descriptions of the shot. I've yet to actually see the video. It's got to be out there somewhere. Usually, Saline has great. There's somebody, the Saline Post or somebody covering them, but maybe it's out there. I just missed it. But this win allowed Huron to go to 3-0 and Saline dropped to 3-1. But I think what it really did is just it just solidified the SEC Red as a division that's going to have, you know, multiple teams in the mix this year. These two of them for sure. But they're, you know, obviously Skyline's there, Dexter is there, and Pioneer is proven that they can play with everybody in this division too. So it's just it's a tough one. And there's Huron again. You know, Huron loses everybody, and people probably slept on them, including yours truly. And here they are, undefeated again, and kind of took a, you know, maybe the driver's seat, or at least they're right there with Dexter as undefeated in the conference. But obviously a great game. You know, it's funny. I was talking to actually communicating, texting with Coach Samaha, and he had lots of good things to say about Saline, especially Saline's new coach, Michael Merrick. And he said, you know, his quote was, this guy is legit. And he was really impressed with how Saline, how they just their offense, the concepts they use, some of the different actions that they use. He says they've got set plays, but this guy's really conceptual. This guy being Merrick, and he's got his kids just playing with a real sound way. They're aggressive defensively, like up in your chest, and they rebound really well. They've got all the pieces, he said, you know, to be a really good team. So he was his first impressions of Coach Merrick were like, wow. I'm sure he prepared for the game by watching some video, but then up close and personal, he was a fan. So he thinks they're going to win a lot of games, and it doesn't surprise me. The other thing he says, he kind of feels they stole one, especially at Saline. I had a little communication with Merrick as well. And he, like all good coaches, they want to compliment their opponent. And he just feels Huron's winning tradition maybe had something to do with the result here. You know, Saline was up 8-7 or 8, depending on who you talk to, with 4 minutes to go, and could not hold on. maybe took a few bad shots down the stretch. And here's Huron, who's been in this position many times, and they know how to win. And they figured it out and got the ball with a chance to win and did. And ended up posting that win, which, you know, may be a factor as this race unfolds. Thoughts on either of those teams, or what are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Yeah, with our weird league schedule, we play on, you know, a lot of our games on Thursday. Yeah. So I was actually following this game on Twitter. I didn't pull up the live stream. I actually couldn't find it. I was actually interested in this one, on that day, but I couldn't find the live stream. If they even had one. No, it was interesting to just follow the score. You know, it was a low scoring game throughout. I think it was 10-10 or something at the end of the first quarter. It was a 2-point game at halftime or something like that, and a 2-point game or so, 2-4 point game going into the fourth quarter. And you know, it's just really low scoring and competitive. And I definitely, you know, was curious to see how Celine would show. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously Huron having knocked off Skyline last week kind of definitely, you know, earned everybody's respect. And so I was curious to see if maybe they're a notch above everybody. Well, you know, they're definitely right there at the top, but there's no doubt that, like you were saying, everybody's right behind them, or right there with them. I mean, it's obvious that's tough for Celine to drop a game that way. And especially if you were up 8 with 4 to go, that just, it really hurts. It stings. And, you know, and to have to go into break with that, can really suck. Now I'm sure, they'll be able to bounce back and, you know, fight through it, but that definitely will rock you a little bit and force you to have to, you know, well, not sleep well for a couple nights. So I agree with you. I think that it's a really good, league, and it's proving that we expected that. And it's showing that here early on. I think, at this point, you got to say Huron's got the best start. I know Dexter's also 3-0, and again, it's no knock on Dexter or no knock on their opponents, but I think Dexter maybe has had a little bit easier schedule than Huron, to begin. I mean, obviously Dexter knocked off, this week, Monroe and Bedford, and Monroe and Bedford have proven to be, very, you know, admirable opponents within all their games. They haven't been blown out at all, really, to this point by any of the teams they played. So I think across the board, you're going to see a lot of good basketball in that conference. I know that Dexter Huron game is one that I think you got to circle because it's coming up soon now. I think there's a decent chance they're both undefeated going into that game. If I look real quick here, I want to say they might not even have another league game before that, or do they?
I'm not sure. I know that the game you're talking about is Dexter at Huron. It's Tuesday, January 11th. So it's a week coming out of the break. But yeah, that's definitely one to circle. So
yeah, neither team plays another league game before that. Now they both play games against some tough competition, so their records may not be what they are at the moment. But that'll still be an undefeated league matchup. That should be a heck of a game. Obviously, a rematch of the regional game from a year ago in which Huron put it on Dexter pretty good. But yeah, that'll be a good one. As you know, you could honestly pick one of those out every single night in the SEC Red this year. But yeah, it should be a good season 5. I think, you know, we were talking at the beginning of the year on our preview pod about how many wins is it going to take to win the league. I think, you know, that number is, I'm more confident than ever that you're going to see a 3-4 loss, league champion or shared league title.
I think Coach Samaha even alluded when we were kind of going back and forth yesterday that 10-4, he could see 10-4 winning it just because of the balance in the league. You know, it's funny because when he was talking about his team in the preseason, he really couldn't pinpoint like who his main guys were. There's so he has a bunch of them, and they're all at the same level, but they all are kind of like untested at the varsity level. And, you know, there's new names that keep emerging every game. It seems like they've got a couple different names. Like, I'll be honest, the two guys that were their leading scorers, I think it's pronounced Makari Moore. He had 12 points. And Keto Anthony had 11. Like, those are names that, I mean, I'm sure these guys are outstanding players, but they've been kind of in the shadows of the really good Huron guys over the last couple of years. So there's two more. Braden LaRusso, who we've talked about on the pod, and Cooper Fairman, Dylan Mesman. Fairman and Mesman had 9 each. LaRusso actually led Celine with 10. So, yeah, it's just, of course, in a 41-39 game, that's – that's actually quite a bit of scoring from those guys. That's like a quarter of their points, each of them. But yeah, good stuff. Looking forward to, again, following that conference. But Tuesday, January 11th, again, Dexter at Huron, circle it. So Which one do you have for us today?
So I want to take a look at the Dexter girls victory over, we'll focus on their victory over Bedford this last Friday, December 17th at Dexter. That win allowed Dexter to move to 4-1 on the season, and more importantly, 3-0 in the SEC Red. That Dexter actually was kind of in control of the game pretty quickly. They led by 11 at the half, and you know, held that 12-point lead into the fourth quarter. So they kind of were in control throughout. I think this was kind of a shocking score for me when I saw it, just considering that Bedford took Saline to overtime. And I just kind of, to be honest, I pegged Saline as maybe a step ahead of Dexter and the rest of the league in my own head for no real reason. I haven't seen these teams right. play a ton in person, more just on preseason bias. So I just assumed this would be, you know, Dexter would be up against it. I thought that there would be a competitive game without a doubt, but to see them kind of control the game was really impressive. I know Coach Thompson was really complimentary of the other team defense. And they're really able to bother Bedford's post players, which, as we talked about last week and with Bedford's matchup with Saline, that's an important piece to slowing down Bedford. And they're also able to get on the glass. When obviously when you have good post players, even if you're making it tough on them initially, you also got to keep them off the glass, and they're able to do that as well. The balanced scoring from Dexter was definitely something that I took notice of. I mean, Matty Valentine led him with 16 points, including 4 threes. And then Chloe Perry added 10 points with Sydney Panasic adding 9 and Bree Rodriguez. The old Brasso Lane neighbor, got always reference girl. It with 8. So again, that's balanced scoring there for the Dreadnoughts. And I know the freshman that's in the mix, Alina Bloomberg, also was a key factor in the game. So that's all, we always like to take note of the young ladies making an impact. So, you know, really kind of an eye-catching win, in my opinion, and they put themselves in a really good spot here heading into the new year.
You know, we probably don't talk enough about Lauren Thompson on this podcast. I mean, she gets lost, I think, sometimes. And, you know, Dexter girls basketball has been a really good program in this area. I mean, took its turn, its trip to the Breslin. They've won, you know, multiple division titles when they were in the white. Lauren was the longtime assistant to Mike Babinaw, always capable, but with Mike being there, like, you know, she was just kind of the right-hand woman. And then, of course, when Mike left, actually he's coaching with the boys now as an assistant coach. I mean, she was the natural, you know, replacement, and things haven't changed, and they're good again. And they're playing a style now that might be more her personality than it was coach Babinaw's. But I know just people I've talked to said this is a really exciting team, and this is some different girls. And this is like the third, you know, since it seems like in the last 10 years, it's like the third wave of talented kids that have come through here. You know, when you were in high school, there was that wave, the group that was a little older than you, they took it to the Breslin. And then there was, you know, the a couple years later, it's kind of like with Tony's the age, that group, again, a big wave of kids that came through 5 or 6 in the same grade. And now you see, like, you know, Valentine and Rodriguez and Panasic and Chloe Perry is a name that keeps popping up, but here they go again. But Lauren deserves, you know, a lot of credit for what she's done, and she's kept this thing going. And it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, it's funny because Dexter boys, you know, the last time until this year before, the last time they won a district was their first year in Class A. It's kind of weird. You go from B to A and then they win a district. And this is the first year for the Dexter boys and the Dexter girls, you know, to go into the SEC Red Division. And here they both are really kind of, I know it's only December, but they're in contention for titles. Everybody's kind of looking at them early games saying these two teams are going to be right there. But following the Dexter girls, and I'm kind of looking forward to this Saline at Dexter girls game on Tuesday, January 25. It's over a month away. But it's one that may have a lot to do with this conference, this division, the Red Division as well. So, yeah.
Looking ahead to that one, I mean, Dexter and obviously Saline does as well. They've got some non-conference games leading into that.
Right.
And Dexter's playing some weird opponents, some not teams you normally expect. You know, an SEC or an Ann Arbor area's team to play. They're playing Reese, Brownston, Woodhaven, and Redford Westfield Prep in the non-conference. But then they play Huron and Lincoln heading into that Saline game. Huron and Lincoln both appear to be a step below the rest of the league at the moment. You know, so far, obviously, things can change. But there's a decent chance that Dexter goes into that game with an undefeated record in the SEC Red. And then I would also expect the same from Saline. But, you know, so that really could be a big one. On the 25th.
Yeah, SEC Red and the girls, you know, it's Saline and Dexter, we just mentioned them. Bedford is even though they've lost now twice, both to Dexter and Saline, they're going to be a factor. And they're actually right now playing without Coach Bill Ryan's daughter, the other post player. She's still out, did not play against Dexter. But the other team you can't sleep on is Pioneer. That's, you know, they're still really good. Like, if you look at their scores, that they took an L in the league, but they were right there. The game was competitive, and they're good enough to beat anybody in that conference on a given night. You know, you're making shots. So really kind of a big four and potentially a kind of a second tier four. But you know, we'll see how things develop. And in a COVID year, you never know who's at full strength and who isn't. So, but hey, the other group we wanted to touch on, the other team, and not necessarily a game, but kind of just their overall season so far. And it's hard to ignore the Arbor Prep boys currently sitting 5-0. They've had a good start. I think we all knew they were going to be pretty good. But you know, there was a game early. It was December 11th, so it was a week ago Saturday. You know, they were down 17. I knew they beat Saginaw. I didn't realize they were down 17 in that game, and they came all the way back to win 52-48. That was at their place. On December 11th, and that was their second win of the year. And since then, they've run off three more. They just beat pretty decent Plymouth Christian team by 16 in a game where they hit 15 three-pointers, by the way. So they can beat you a lot of different ways. But Arbor Prep boys, we know about the Arbor Prep girls, but this Arbor Prep boys team is one to respect as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I think they obviously are kind of off the radar in the area just because they don't play in a league with the other area schools. But, you know, it's funny. I don't follow this that closely, but it's been popping up on Twitter quite a bit lately. And I don't know exactly how they come up with this stuff. But, you know, you see the D-Zone, and they're very popular mm-hmm. with football. Yep. But they also have the basketball stuff as well. They have a ranking. They do the top 50 or 60 schools or whatever in the state on a weekly basis. And their most recent ranking that they just came out with, it included, you know, if you look at it, the top Ann Arbor area school is actually Arbor Prep on their rankings. Again, I'm not really going to get into the weeds. I don't know if they do explain how they do it, or if it's literally just one person that ranks based on scores and what they know or what. And there's other area teams in the mix on that list, but I'm pretty sure they're the highest. They're up in the low 20s, I think, now Arbor Prep is. And I mean, the thing is, they got some dudes. I mean, you know, Patrick Combo and Troy, I want to say, was it Seacott?
I believe so.
So those two guys are legit, and you don't see a combination like that often at the Division III Class C level. And you know, they're both next level players without a doubt. And some of their highlights that they both have individually posted highlights, or somebody has posted them of them. And I just watched through the video, and it's like, holy smokes, like both of these kids can really play. They're really skilled, but it's not like they're out there just getting theirs. Like they play within the team concept. You can tell within the highlights, they have a good style of play. And offensively, they have some guys that are just really, really hard to guard. And that's not even going into the fact that, they're very tough defensively. Like, I think that, like you mentioned, they can beat you in different ways. They can obviously hit the three like they did against Plymouth Christian. Again, I remember watching them beat Chelsea last year where they just flexed them, and they took about a minute and 30 seconds per possession. And Chelsea was just getting frustrated because they couldn't get them to speed up or turn the ball over, and eventually they'd get a layup. And that was obviously some different players, but you know, that was still Coach Murray a year ago. So they really can, adjust to how you want to play. And they're dangerous. They're going to have a gaudy record at the end of the year. That's for sure.
You know, CCAT's averaging 18 points a game. Combo's averaging 14 points and 8 assists. And that would even, you know, Amari Bird, the longer kid inside, does a lot of things for them too. I mean, those three guys, all seniors, are outstanding basketball players. And you throw, you know, and they've got some other guys that, but Coach Murray, like, he, again, another guy that maybe goes unnoticed because he's not in one of our local leagues, but Ra Murray, however you want to refer to him. This guy's done nothing but win in his career. And here he is at Arbor Prep, and he's got a squad together that, you know, they're a legitimate, you know, top 10 team, probably in Division III. And who knows where they go from there. Communication with him between actually Josh Trope was the one communicating with him. He mentioned about, you know, staying humble and staying hungry. And those are the kind of messages, you know, an experienced, successful coach is going to send to his team. And that's what he's doing. So, yeah, watch out for them. I know they got a game coming up at Ypsilanti Community, or I still call them Ypsilanti High, on January 6th. And we got to delve into Ipsy a little bit, figure out what, you know, they had a win, a nice win to start this season. And then they just got hammered by Birmingham Groves the other day. So I don't know if they were shorthanded or Groves is really tough or what happened there. But when Arbor Prep and Ipsy get together, that should be kind of interesting. So looking forward to all of that. So, you know, it's funny. We're going into Christmas time here, and you've had four games, and congratulations on your 4-0 start over there in the Poland. You guys had a big win over, I know, Parma Western, among your four victories. That's been pretty good. And I haven't seen you guys live, and I've been watching, you know, anytime I can watch the live stream, I do. I know your Thursday game, I was able to watch the whole thing when you guys played Manchester. But it got me thinking, because, you know, we had a game last week, a home game with Grass Lake, and the student section. You know, it's fun to have fans back in the gym this year. Last year we played these games where, you know, you just heard a few people clapping. It mainly was parents, and some of the Ann Arbor schools are still doing that at their home games. But for most everyone, the fans are back and student sections are back, and I think they're excited, and they seem like they're boisterous as ever, maybe more so. They're as big as ever. Our student sections, we had a Tuesday night non-league game, and our student section was back to the wall. Like, it was huge, like, you know, compared to what it normally would be on a Tuesday night. But then that thing over Celine comes out. That's what I'm trying to tie this into. You know, student sections, again, are becoming prevalent, and they're a big part of high school basketball. But at Celine High School on Monday, December 13, they posted this on the internet or on Twitter and any social media, but this must have been going through their school. They're obviously having some trouble with the behavior in their student section, but it said, I'm going to read it real quick. Due to misbehavior at recent sporting events, Celine students will only be permitted entry to winter sport home and away contests if they are accompanied by a legal guardian. This protocol will be in place through Saturday, January 8th, 2022. This will give the administration additional time to assess our protocols to make sure that we phase back in the student section at future athletic events. I just like that. I don't know. It caught me off guard. And, you know, boisterous or out of control student sections, it's something that happens in high school sport. Basketball is the one that gets the most attention because the student section is right on top of the game. Football, they're kind of away from it, so it's really kind of hard to tell. But, you know, have high school kids have to have their parents there to be able to attend the game just seemed weird. You know, we've done that with our high school events where we make our middle school kids or elementary kids show up with parents just so we're not babysitting them. But high school kids is a little bit different. So I don't know really what prompted it. I can only guess, I imagine, but how have your student sections been so far? They look like they've been pretty good. And what have you seen just kind of being part of the Cascades and your thoughts on all that?
I mean, well, if you think about it too, that you can have high schoolers that are 18 or 19 years old. So, you know, you got to come to a game with your parent at 18 or 19 years old. It's just a weird thing to even comprehend there. But our student sections have been great. Over at Napoleon, they call themselves the ship, since we're the Pirates and everything, and they're really good. They show up, they're loud. They're into the game. They usually have a theme going, and they're rowdy. You know, our guys definitely enjoy it. They probably play to them a little bit too much. You know, I think it definitely brings more excitement to the community and to the events. I've noticed in Jackson County, despite the fact they have a lot of small schools, even when I was at Springport in the Big Eight, but the same thing holds true in the Cascades, you get some really good student sections. And I think the biggest reason you see that in Jackson County is, like I was mentioning earlier, they choose to play the boys and girls games on basically on different days all the time. So because of that, I think you can get the other gender team to come to the games, which, you know, those are probably other people in the school that are interested in basketball, or the, you know, the right. girls basketball team is interested in it when in watching the boys and so forth. So I think that helps with that, where obviously in the SEC, you know, they play on the same night. So you're not getting you're splitting the crowd up, I guess is what I'm saying. But so with that, you do get some rowdy student sections, the chants and stuff. Nothing's really gotten out of line. There's occasionally it's like, all right, like maybe you shouldn't be so. I'm big on the positive energy stuff, so I'm not always I would not always approve of the negative chants that you'll get and stuff. But overall, I mean, I haven't seen anything bad. I know you've had a little bit of an experience the other day where some people were complaining.
Yeah, you know, it really, a lot of it does come down to administration. And, you know, if we missed a step against Grass Lake, it's clearly my fault. I mean, me being the coach now, it's a little different because I'm relying on some other people to kind of monitor things like that during the game. And I've never done that before. I've never coached and been the AD until last year. Last year, again, we didn't have crowds. But against Grass Lake, we had just some kids that kind of crossed the line. They get into it, you know, and this is typical at any high school event. They can, if you allow it, they can get into it a little bit with, you know, maybe JV players that are there watching the game from the other team or other students from the other school. And every once in a while, a parent will get a little upset because maybe they feel like somebody's saying something or their kid's being picked on. And next thing you know, you got a parent interacting with the students from the home school, and that's never a good thing. So again, it's just you know, I think administration, what Celine's trying to do, they're being a little reactive here opposed to proactive. But I know how it happens. Like I said, I was shaking hands and talking to Coach McDaniel from Grass Lake, and I was walking away Tuesday night. I had a Grass Lake mom not too happy, probably not too happy with the outcome of the game, but she also wasn't too happy with a couple of our students. So she gave me an earful right in front of the score table after the game. Wasn't quite what I was looking for at that point. I probably didn't give her the response that she wanted, but you know, it made me think like we need to do a better job with our students, and we'll be better from here on out moving forward. And I was just kind of curious. But it's so great again to see kids back in the gym having fun as students, even the ones that aren't playing basketball. And I know our players are just totally loving it because again, they played a whole season where they didn't get really to play in front of anybody, you know, other than people had to watch the live stream if they were, you know, not part of their immediate family. So hopefully Celine gets it under control and everybody else. And it's just one of those things, but basketball seems to bring that out more than any other sport.
Basketball in high school basketball, you can actually have an effect on the game. I really feel like it's almost impossible for a football student section to have an effect on a game. It's just, you're not loud enough or big enough to really truly impact the game. Like in college, obviously the crowd noise is a major factor in college football games, but it's just hard to get to that point at a high school game. At least Dexter used to pack the student section when I was growing up, and it was loud, but I don't know that it ever was really disrupting the other team's calls and stuff. Like in basketball, it happens on a regular basis, and it's cool to have to, obviously it's frustrating as a coach to have to deal with or be prepared to have hand signals and all that, but it's fun to have to be worried about that again this year.
You know, we had a player, he knows who he is. He had a player that we were playing in one of our exhibition games. I think it was our first one of the year, maybe our second one. I can't remember, but he actually got fouled on a 3-pointer at the end of the half and he's at the free throw line. And our student section is away from us. It's in the end zone. So he literally had to shoot 3 free throws into our own student section. And he did not fare well during that trifecta. Let's just say that. And he was distraught in the locker room after the game, or maybe the next day he told me, he says, you know, I like my, our own students make me nervous. And then he mentioned, he goes, I'd never really played in front of a student section before because last year we had no students. And so, and that was his first year on the varsity. So this is his second year as a JV player or freshman player, his freshman year. there were no, you know, no one comes to those games. So there really isn't even a student section. So it's just one of those, you know, you got to get used to it. I mean, like when you were at Dexter, I mean, you were mute like a Dexter Chelsea game when, you know, there's just thousands of people in there and kids are going crazy and you got guys opening their trench coats and wearing their Speedos, trying to intimidate the other, you know, free throw shooters. I mean, those are great times. And now that can make people upset too. And administration sometimes frowns on that, but all good fun. We got to keep it under control, but man, it sure is nice having them back. So
I wish we could go down the path, but I don't think it's appropriate for our pod. But the day at my sophomore year at Monroe, I got stories from that one that are classic, but they're not appropriate for the pod, unfortunately. So
they are not. Yeah, you got introduced into what, a high school varsity student section that could pick out one player and start working them over a little bit. That's right. You guys got the dub that night, so I think that's all that mattered. But that was, I do remember that, or hearing about it. I don't even know if I was at the game, but wow, that's funny. Well, hey, that does it for this week's podcast. It is, like I said, the 20th. We're going to we'll come back at you sometime between Christmas and New Year. Might spend a little bit of time talking about the shot clock event over at Spring Arbor and some other shot clock events. I know Ann Arbor Huron is going to play in a couple of games. The boys were the shot clock, and maybe try to figure out who else is doing that. But that's some of those trial events are going to take place between Christmas and New Year. And I hope they go well so that we can get a little closer to bringing that and adopting that into Michigan high school basketball. So anyway, until next time, folks, everybody take care and happy holidays.